This is Christopher O'Reilly, and welcome to this week's podcast of From the Top. Enjoy.
I've also decided to stick with love, but I know that love is ultimately the only answer to mankind's problems, and I'm going to talk about it everywhere I go. I know it isn't popular to talk about it in some circles today, but I have seen too much hate. He who hates does not know God, but he who loves has the key. Unlocks the door to the meaning of ultimate reality.
From NPR, it's From the Top. Today, a Martin Luther King special featuring the Boston Children's Chorus. Here's the host of From the Top, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome. Today we're at the beautiful Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Boston to celebrate the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. through the eyes of today's teenagers. And that superb chorus you just heard, the Boston Children's Chorus under the direction of Anthony Treisa King. They sang Randall Thompson's Alleluia, a most inspiring way to kick off our show. As a matter of fact, all the music on today's show reflects the spirit of Dr. King. But in addition to their music, the kids performing today have brought their own brand of idealism to share with us. 44 years after his death, what these kids are saying and what they're doing will make it clear that Dr. King's activism in pursuit of social change and his dream of a better world still remain powerful models for our young people. And we'll be hearing more of Dr. King's unforgettable voice throughout the program. And speaking of unforgettable voices, let's meet the guy behind the voices of the amazing Boston Children's Chorus. Please welcome Artistic Director Anthony Treisa King. Welcome, TK.
Great to
be with you again.
It's great to be here.
So tell us about this group behind me here. Who are these kids?
Absolutely. Well, this is two of our 11 choirs that we have in the Boston Children's Chorus. It is 60 of our 450 different singers, and they come from all over the Boston metropolitan area and even as far away as a couple of hours' drive to come see us every week. The chorus was started in 2003. This is our ninth season by a wonderful man, Hubie Jones, who thought that Boston needed something to bring the communities together in a way that wasn't done before. The chorus existed. Hubie's dream, I think, has come alive in this chorus. Now, like I said, it's been our ninth season. And the idea is to use music as a catalyst to create social change, to bring folks from different neighborhoods, different social economic backgrounds, different religious beliefs together and see if we can't make harmony through music and through our lives in the classroom.
It sounds like a wonderfully dedicated dream. And to be in this chorus, you ask for a pretty big commitment and determination, don't you?
Yeah, it is. It's at least for this group here, it's at least twice a week, but often it ends up being way more than twice a week or 4 or 5 hours a week. So It's a big commitment.
So these kids are putting in a lot of dedication and serious hard work singing in the group.
Absolutely.
Why? What is the draw?
The Boston Children's Chorus is life-changing.
It's unique.
It's just really awesome.
It's family.
The Boston Children's Chorus is scrumptralescent. It's just so many things in one, and all the things are positive, like scrumptious and just excellent. So it mashed all those up and added some letters and got scrumptralescent.
Anthony Treisa King is indescribable.
TK is super cool.
TK is definitely empowering.
You never know what you're going to get from him. It's like a clown coming out of a jack-in-the-box. He is... You're winding up the box. He pops out of the box and ba-boom, Anthony has arrived.
BCC has made me more... not open, but... a more charitable person. In the past 3 years or so, we've been working with the Pine Street Inn, working with the homeless shelter, serving meals, or just talking to some of the people that are there. And I mean, I guess eventually I would have done that sometime in my life, but to do this before I even turned 15 was, that really like changed me, I think, forever.
Well, the choir has made me like a happier and stronger person, because before I was really insecure and really unsure of myself. But after being in the choir now, you can ask anybody. Like, I speak my mind all the time. It just made me like a more open person. I love it.
I feel that when I come here every week, and it's a place for me to get away, I feel like I'm in the tropics, and I just feel relaxed, and being here and saying and expressing who I am as an individual is great, because, it's hard to do that in the real world. And here you get to be that person. Yeah.
Well, to be in the middle of a performance with a choir like this is, it's breathtaking, really. Because when you have to be able to step back from it all and kind of see the chaos around you, but at the same time see the, like, how everything falls together and works. It's, if you think about it too hard, you get really confused of how does one man, Mr. TK, construct all this, like, madness into music. 60 kids just making noise at him, and he makes it all sound good. So it's surreal.
When we're standing there singing, it's energizing. We feel that this passion that goes throughout the choir, and we really just, we know our purpose and why we're doing this, to create social change. We're there for ourselves, but for others as well. So you really feel that passion and energy throughout the choir. It feels great.
Why do I come back year after year? I don't even ask myself that question anymore, because one year when I was 10, I thought that I would quit because I had too many other commitments. And after 1 week, I said, Mom, I have to go back. I had, you know, choir separation anxiety because this choir has become the biggest element of my life.
We heard the voices of Max Anthony, Jillian Baker, Jennifer Cox, Isabel Koyama, and Marlon Matthews, and we'll be hearing much more from the Boston Children's Chorus later on in the show.
The Boston Children's Chorus is an amazing collection of kids from all over Boston, and they're so fabulous to watch. Check out our video of their beautiful and dynamic performance at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need, on the web at jkcf.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Chris.
Speaking of New England Conservatory, the members of the string quartet up next all happen to be students there. We're calling them the From the Top Alumni Quartet because before going to NEC, they were all on our show as young'uns. We invited these guys back not only because they're super musicians and we miss them, but also because the stuff they've been up to since appearing on our show would get high marks from Dr. King. Their first violinist, Tessa Lark, is with me at the microphone. Tessa, look at you. Big college kid now, but you were such a wee junior high school tyke when we put you on our show. Do you remember anything about that experience?
Yeah, I was about 13 years old, I think, and I was playing with the Starling Chamber Orchestra, which is based in Cincinnati, and the concert was in Music Hall in Cincinnati, and it was sold out. I think there were thousands of people there, and it was just so amazing to play for everyone.
Please introduce your fellow From the Top alums, won't you?
Sure. Ryan Shannon is my fellow violinist, and also a violinist, but playing viola today, is Clayton Penrose Whitmore. And Mike Dahlberg is playing cello.
And the piece you're going to play is quite relevant to today's show. Tell everybody about it.
Yes, very much. George Walker is the composer, and he was the first black composer to receive a Pulitzer Prize. And we will be playing the Adagio movement from his String Quartet No. 1, which is also known as a string orchestra arrangement, lyric for strings.
Great. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
The Adagio from George Walker's String Quartet No. 1, played by the From the Top Alumni Quartet. Tessa Lark and Ryan Shannon, violins. Our violist was Clayton Penrose Whitmore. Our cellist was Michael Dahlberg. Tessa, Ryan, and Clayton all study at Louisville Conservatory, and Michael is a recent graduate. What a moving performance of that. Great piece by you guys. Really appreciate you putting that together, all that hard work. You've all grown so much as musicians since you were teenagers on our show, and you've all earned your stripes winning various competitions and honors. But Clayton, you took gold in a competition that's really one of a kind. Tell everyone about that.
It was the Sphinx competition, which was run by the Sphinx Organization, which is a really cool organization that promotes diversity in classical music. And I've done a lot of cool things with them, such as gone to a lot of schools around the country, introducing them to, you know, violins, cellos, and also a lot of performances, which they specialize in bringing people who have never been to a classical music concert. So a lot of the audiences at their concerts are, you know, 100% people who've never heard classical music in their lives before, which is really cool.
The mission behind the Sphinx Organization is something that means something to you personally, and you're taking it onwards.
For sure. When I came here to New England Conservatory this year, I noticed that I was one of the only African-American people who played a string instrument here. There's maybe one or two others in the undergraduate class, and I think that can change, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The Sphinx, I mean, it's a competition, but it's a great community. I mean, I know there are lifelong friendships that start up from all you all, you know, hanging together, and it's a great, great thing. Ryan and Michael, we know up close and personal the great ways you've been using music to change the world, because we've been helping you do it. For a year now, you've both been working with From the Top's Center for the Development of Arts Leaders, conducting community service projects here in Boston. Ryan, where have you been working this year?
I've been working at a place called the Hope Lodge, which is here in JP, and it is a residence facility for people outside of Boston to come and stay for free while they're receiving cancer treatment here in Boston. And over the past year, I've been doing a lot of concerts with my group there, interactive activities, drum circles, sing-alongs, type stuff like that. It's been an amazing experience for me to be able to see the effect that we've been having on people, the things that I've seen. One man came up to me after one of the concerts and said, "When I die, if I go to heaven, I want the angels to sing as prettily as you do."
Oh, which is fantastic.
Something that you don't hear very much in your life. So
you carry that with you. Yeah, absolutely. Great work. And Michael, you've been working for the year at one of the oldest elder care centers in America, Goddard House. Now, a lot of kids do one-off concerts in senior homes, but what have you been doing that's different?
What's amazing about our project is that we've made it out there about 25 times this year, so which means we've been there fairly regularly, sometimes up to twice a week over the course of a couple months. And what happens from that is that you get to know these people really, really, really well. And a relationship forms that is a two-way street. The residents know our team very well, we know them very well, and both of us are helping each other out in some way or another. And so it's exciting to see how over the course of the year these concerts that we do become more of concert and chats. And the chat part becomes bigger and bigger with each show. Music becomes less and less, and it becomes more about the conversation rather than just performing for somebody.
Such a long-term commitment makes a huge difference, of course. I know that for you, Michael, doing ongoing things at a local level is a direction you think classical music in general needs to take.
I think a lot of people think the ultimate dream of being a musician is to go and tour the world and not be in one place more than maybe for a couple of days and over the course of a week. And I think that's fantastic. It's really exciting. But I find it equally exciting to consider the depth of the relationships that you can form through music, not just the breadth of the relationships.
That's great work. Tessa, you'd like to have an impact by expanding classical music itself, reaching new people by combining and juxtaposing genres of music. And you're the person to do it, given the way you grew up musically, yeah?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Kentucky, and I grew up in a household with a lot of bluegrass music playing. My dad plays gospel bluegrass banjo, and he's still in a band today, and I actually played fiddle with him a little bit when I was 8 years old, and the story goes that I kind of quit because they were old and boring. What I'm wanting to do is to show audiences that a lot of classical music is inspired by music of the people and folk music. So there are composers like Bartok, who used Hungarian folk music in his pieces, and I would play a sonata of his, perhaps, and then juxtapose that with the actual Hungarian music. And Charles Ives is a composer who grew up here in New England, and he used a lot of gospel tunes and fiddle tunes. And I would maybe pair that with a couple of, you know, the real thing, and maybe have my dad play with me. He doesn't know that yet. Hi, Dad. So, I'm really looking forward to exploring that and seeing who I can reach.
Well, here's to all the great changes you all are bringing to classical music and great work, and so great hearing you all again. Tessa, you're going to be joining us later to play a country fiddle accompaniment to the finale at the end of the show. We're going to look forward to that. Great performance. Thanks again.
Thank you.
The From the Top Alumni Quartet, Tessa Lark and Ryan Shannon, violins, Clayton Penrose Whitmore, viola, and Michael Dalbo, cello. Anthony Teresa King, the artistic director of the Boston Children's Chorus, is back with me on stage. Anthony, continuing today's celebration of the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the chorus has two powerful spirituals to sing for us next. Tell us about them.
Sure. The first piece that we're going to do is In His Care, O, by William Dawson, followed by Moses Hogan's My Soul's Been Anchored in the Lord.
I'm concerned about justice. I'm concerned about brotherhood. I'm concerned about truth. And when one is concerned about that, he can never advocate violence. For through violence you may murder a hater, but you can't murder hate through violence. Darkness cannot put out darkness. Only light can do that.
One day as I was walking down,
I thank my Lord, I'm in his care.
Now let me tell you.
I'll sing and pray myself away.
My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored.
Traditional spirituals sung by the Boston Children's Chorus, ages 13 to 18, under the direction of Anthony Teresa King. We'll now meet two members of the chorus. At the mics, we have two Boston area teenagers, Kamari Barnes, 14-year-old tenor from the Dorchester neighborhood of the city, and Brandon Miles, 16-year-old baritone from the neighborhood of Roxbury. Given what we've learned about you two before today's show, we thought it might be a good way to start our conversation by listening to this provocative quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
We must honestly face the fact that the movement must address itself to the question of restructuring the whole of American society. There are 40 million poor people here. One day we must ask the question, why are there 40 million poor people in America? Now, when I say questioning the whole society, it means ultimately coming to see that the problem of racism, the problem of economic exploitation, and the problem of war are all tied together. These are the triple evils that are interrelated.
A year before his death, Dr. King is thinking past the civil rights movement, pushing Americans to think more comprehensively about American social problems beyond racism. And you two teenagers aren't shying away from some of the more controversial problems we face. Brandon, tell us what you've been speaking out about in the school community.
Well, for the past 2 years, I've been an ambassador for Brookline High School. And last year we went to New York, and this year we went to Missouri. And basically in those conferences that we go to, we speak on behalf of the achievement gap, and we go and we study the statistics and the data about what's really going on in the education system in America and basically how to close that achievement gap.
Where do you find most of the blame for that gap?
Most of the blame comes from a system called tracking, which is when a student ends their middle school career and takes a test to get into high school, depending on how well they did on that test, they'll either be tracked into a higher honor class or to a lower standard class. And that can be really detrimental to the student's success and potential.
And that's done. I mean, once you've taken that test and it comes from the training you've gotten from that middle school, better or worse, and there's no changing it once you're in.
Indeed.
Very debilitating. We heard Dr. King addressing poverty in his speech. And Kamari, I know that issue is an important one for you, especially childhood poverty. Describe what you're doing to try and help out.
Every once in a while, me and my family donate to a program called Cradles for Crayons, which provides school supplies and clothes for kids that can't afford or don't have them. And it takes a lot of the burden off of the kids that shouldn't have to worry about how to help mom find out what's for dinner or, you know, what they're going to wear the next day because they only have one pair of jeans or something like that. So I try to help out as much as I can in that area.
It's a great foundation, Cradles to Crayons. And speaking of programs that transform the lives of kids, you're both in one of them, the METCO program, which, by the way, began in 1966, and it's pretty much a direct legacy of the civil rights movement. METCO is an acronym for Metropolitan Council for Educational Opportunity, and it's a nonprofit that gives kids from the inner city the opportunity to go to schools in the suburbs. Brandon, you have a short commute to Brookline, I understand, but Kamari, every day you're bused from Dorchester in Boston all the way to the town of Swampscott, north of Boston. Has that made a difference for you?
Definitely. Seeing the differences between the town I live in and somewhere else has definitely made me appreciate where I come from and the different aspects of, you know, how people view certain things. So I've gotten to see both sides of many arguments and many social disagreements, such as poverty and how we're going to solve things like that. And I've gotten to see many sides of it, and I'm very grateful for that.
Downside is, what time do you have to wake up in the morning to get up there?
5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Every day.
Brandon, at your school, you also speak out about drugs and alcohol to the younger kids. What do you tell them?
Well, I tell them that being or having to do drugs and alcohol is not the right path to go. I say that I'm an example. I've never done any drugs and alcohol, and I'm doing well in school, so there's no need to, you know, go out with your friends or do anything that's bad. And to the kids who have started doing drugs and alcohol, it's not a way to say, oh, that's really bad, but I mean, it's a way to help them understand that there is another path and that that's not the only way they can go.
Well, you gentlemen and the whole chorus, frankly, are already making a huge difference in your communities. I can't wait to see what you'll do as adults. Kamari Barnes and Brendan Miles, members of the Boston Children's Chorus.
If you're wondering what it would be like to see these amazing performers in action, hop over to our YouTube channel. There you'll find video clips from each and every show, behind-the-scenes features, even content created by the young musicians themselves. Go to youtube.com/fromthetop.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music. Online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. Today, from the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Boston, From the Top and the Boston Children's Chorus present a Martin Luther King special. Up next, a 17-year-old bassoonist performs the music of Alexander Tonsman, and we'll hear how this young musician's path parallels Coretta Scott King's early years in music. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Today's From the Top with the Boston Children's Chorus is made possible with support from Citizens Bank. Special thanks to Pastors Ray and Gloria Hammond and the staff of Bethel AME Church and to Steinert & Sons Boston. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Now, please welcome the bassoonist Joanne just mentioned from Orleans, Massachusetts on Cape Cod, Alexandra Nelson. Well, Welcome, Alexandra. While I head Thank back you. To the piano, tell everyone what we're going to be performing together.
We'll be performing the second movement, the aria, of Alexander Tonsman's Bassoon Sonata.
Alexander Nelson, 17-year-old bassoonist from Orleans, Massachusetts. What a beautiful, warm sound you make in this room and with that wonderful piece. Great performance there, Alex. Alexandra, Coretta Scott King studied voice here in Boston at New England Conservatory as a young woman. But as with you, studying classical music presented challenges beyond the practice room. This is Mrs. King speaking at NEC's commencement in 1971.
It was in September of 1951 that I came to this conservatory. I refused to accept help from my parents after college. Since my scholarship covered tuition and fees, I had to secure my room, board, books, materials, and other incidentals. Therefore, I had to call to the fore my inner resources of courage, determination, tenacity, and endurance. But I came with great determination and a contagious excitement and enthusiasm for the unknown future.
Alex, how does her story relate to your situation these days?
Due to a difficult family situation, I am acting as an independent. I support myself. I have a job. I have my own P.O. box. I'm essentially in charge of my own life.
Self-reliant. So you work in addition to attending high school and studying music. But, I mean, how much can you work with all these other things you're doing?
I work a lot, actually. I work about 5 days a week. It's about 30 hours. It's $200 in my pocket every week for books, for gas, for food.
And luckily, you really like where you work, right?
Oh, I love where I work. I work at a little bagel shop called Joe Mama's New York Bagel Shop. It's in Orleans, where I live. And, I love Joe Mama's. They have coffee, fresh coffee, all the time. And they have Wi-Fi. So I'm there doing my homework. I'm like, get all my food there, gourmet sandwiches. Someone asked me the other day where my cot was, because I really never leave.
I just find it so impressive that you're not only negotiating much of life on your own, but you're also excelling so beautifully at your music. But it's got to be hard doing all of this at 17, yes?
Absolutely. Sometimes it hits me, and I am really, really terrified. There's a lot weighing on me, a lot of responsibility. Life can get really hard, but there's something really wonderful about being in charge of my own schedule, and it's just fulfilling, and something about that control. I feel really in charge of my own life, and that's a great feeling.
Does the time management come easily to you? Is this something you're really good at?
Well, I have a planner, a beautiful, wonderful, huge planner that has scribble marks on it, and it's with me all of the time. I use it 24/7. People know that on days that I don't have coffee or on days that I don't have my planner with me, I'm really a wreck. So just don't come near me, because it really helps me rule my life. So.
That's great. And so do you think you want a life in bagels or in music?
As wonderful as bagels are, as much as I love bagels, music, absolutely. I'm applying to many different universities with strong music programs this year, hoping to become a music teacher one day.
That's great. Well, Alexandra, we've wanted to throw in some financial weight behind you. I'm happy to say you've received a $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist grant, so congratulations there.
Thank you so much.
Alexandra Nelson, 17 years old, from Orleans, Massachusetts.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
We're going to bring our Martin Luther King special to a close with a rousing final piece performed by our special guests, the Boston Children's Chorus, under the direction of Anthony Treacek King. Anthony, tell us what you've put together to end the program.
Yes, it's a good old I'll Fly Away, and we have a couple people from Kentucky here actually to play with us, so I'm very excited about this.
Please introduce them.
Absolutely. Well, we have Tessa, as you remember from the string quartet, on violin. We have David Wade, who is a New England Conservatory graduate as well. He's from Kentucky. And Kyle Miles, who's not from Kentucky.
But we like him anyway.
But yeah. We like him anyway. And he's a graduate of Berklee College of Music.
Great. I want to thank all our great young performers who helped us put together our Martin Luther King special. And thank you all for joining us and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. Here's Martin Luther King Jr. from his final speech the night before he died.
And then I got into Memphis. And some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Some bad morning man.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam. The assistant music producer is Caroline Cardios-Menos, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Doyen Chung, David Forbes, Claus Nystrom, and John Service. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Thank you.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. From the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries. On the web at lemelson.org. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And from Joyce V. Hale, in the interest of engaging an informed and civil electorate. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.
And now for a little bonus content, my break piece from the show. Enjoy.